Transmitting sound. Download complete. Now launching audio stream. The Kelly Alexander Show.
You're in for a great ride this week, starting off with author James Arena. He's written a new book called The First Ladies of Disco and tells us how much women like Donna Summer and Gloria Gaynor made this type of music very successful. Up next is disco queen and club diva Martha Wash, formerly of the Weather Girls. She talks about the disco scene of the late 70s and why it abruptly came to an end. We wrap things up with Australian singing sensation Cody Simpson discussing his new acoustic sessions tour and dealing with the price of fame.
Capture your need for sound.
You can't deny the power of disco music. Even if you're a hardcore rock and roll fan, you probably can't stop yourself from tapping your feet at a wedding or celebration when It's Raining Men comes on. Joining us on the show is author James Arena, who has written a book about the disco era, particularly the women artists who helped make it what it is. The book is called The First Ladies of Disco and is a fascinating read into the history of the genre. James, welcome to the Kelly Alexander Show.
Thank you, Kelly. It's very nice to be here.
So, James, you know, right off the hop, what actually inspired you to tackle the disco era and the ladies who made it happen?
Well, I was a great, great fan of this music. I still am, of course. And I think it was one part just curiosity on my part to want to know more about these women. I felt they had such a huge impact on my life when I was younger, and I continued listening to this music for my entire life. And I just thought these women were really remarkable to have such a powerful effect on me. And I wanted to know more about them. And there's not a whole lot of information out there about these ladies. And I felt that was really unfortunate. It's almost like this genre of music and this era has been bypassed a little bit. And therefore, these women, I think, in large part are unsung. And I would like to see them get a little bit more attention and people to learn a little bit more about them. I wanted to give them an opportunity to tell their stories in a book, in a lasting format like a book, and to do so in their own words. And hopefully I accomplished that.
How did you actually go about creating the list of women you wanted to cover in the book and then narrowing it down? Because I'm sure the list went on and on and on.
You know, it's funny, Kelly, the thing is a lot, you know, some people have commented, where is this person? Where is that person in the book? The women that I selected for this book, it was up to them to be a part of the book or not. I picked the ones that I had loved for my entire lifetime, the ones who I think made tremendous contributions, but by no means does that mean that people who are not in the book are not important. It's just that some women were not available, some had passed on. There was an artist that I was trying to reach desperately, Andrea True, of More, More, More fame, and she passed away right before I got underway with the book. So, you know, there's the people that are in it are just, I think, great representatives of this music. They had tremendous hits in the genre. And as it turned out, after getting to know them better, I could not have picked a better group of women, a more enthusiastic, kinder, personable group than the ladies that you see in this book.
Was it hard to track down some of these women? And I understand that a lot of them are still performing today.
Yes. In fact, most of the women that are in this book are performing today at revival shows or in their own concerts. It was not so difficult, actually, for me to track down most of them. What happened was the first artist that I contacted for this book was Linda Clifford. She's best known for If My Friends Could See Me Now and Red Light from the movie Fame. Mm-hmm. And I contacted her, and she enjoyed her interview, and she thought the book idea was really good. And so she contacted a lot of singers on my behalf, and it kind of just snowballed from there. So it actually got easier and easier to reach people and to get them in this project.
Why focus on the ladies of the disco scene? Like, how did you know that that was an area you wanted to really zone in on?
You know, I think that women are generally, and this is a very general statement, I think they're generally more associated with the genre than men. Not to say that there aren't some fantastic male artists and male groups out there, but there was something about the women delivering this music. I think they had the ability to really cut loose with it. They could look great with flashy costumes, and their voices were so powerful. They could just really tear into a song and sell it. They could really make you believe it and lift you up in a way that was really remarkable. Some of these women had great gospel and soul music backgrounds. Some had actually rock and roll backgrounds. They all had this power that just really made disco come alive. And I think they were uniquely qualified to sing this type of music.
Joining us on the Kelly Alexander Show is James Arena, author of The First Ladies of Disco. Make sure to check out his Facebook page, The First Ladies of Disco. And also, if you want, you can follow him on Twitter as well, at James Arena Now. James, one of the most prominent ladies of disco is obviously Donna Summer. Now, sadly, she's no longer with us. What impact do you think she truly had on the disco era? Is she sort of like the queen of all?
Well, I think in most people's mind, Donna Summer is the queen of disco, but I think titles like that are a little unfair because each of these women that are in this book had wonderful triumphs and wonderful hits on the music charts. So you take somebody like Anita Ward. She went to number one with Ring My Bell. Martha Wash, look at the incredible song she had with Isaura Rhodes as the Weather Girls, It's Raining Men. Gloria Gaynor, I Will Survive. Well, what song was bigger than I Will Survive in the disco era? It's a little unfair to give all the credit and attention to Donna Summer, as much as I love her, and I think she was an amazing artist. I would have loved to have had her in this book, and of course she belongs in this book. But I think these women that are featured in First Ladies of Disco got a bit eclipsed by Donna Summer's fame, and I think they deserved a little bit more recognition and attention than they sometimes received. But that's by no means in any way saying that Donna Summer was not one of the most significant artists of the entire genre.
Do you think it was her star quality, James, that sort of put her, you know, in the public's mind maybe a little bit above other people? Because obviously she had such a great look and just such confidence and attitude. And I know a lot of the other women do as well. I mean, I'm a huge fan of Martha Wash and Lolita Holloway, and the list goes on. But do you think there was just like a star quality that maybe rose above other artists?
Absolutely. I mean, she certainly did have that quality and charisma about her. She had a look, a sound that was unlike anybody else's. Absolutely, that definitely helped to push her to the forefront of this music revolution. But she was also associated with a very powerful label at the time. Casablanca Records was a real powerhouse in the day, and that didn't hurt. She had great producers behind her and a lot of support to push her forward. Casablanca had an enormous promotional machine in place, so they could get on any TV show they wanted, any radio station, and Donna Summer definitely benefited from that. Some of these other women that were on smaller labels didn't have quite so much power behind them, and it made it difficult for them, or they were less inclined to get to the top of the chart. So there's a lot of factors that played into each person's success or difficulty achieving success. Donna definitely had charisma, though, and a wonderful, powerful voice, and she really was one of the greatest singers of disco music.
Do you think these women artists are respected in the music community, or do you think, like, overall, some of them are looked upon as, you know, it was a fad, and even though people still dance to it at weddings and so on, it's really not. Like, I feel like sometimes disco isn't taken seriously, even though, like, as a DJ myself, you know, I DJ events, I'm also a radio announcer. It's funny, when I do events, I find the music that brings everyone together, it's always a disco tune.
You make a great point, Kelly. It seems like that is what happened with disco. The name disco, I think, got kind of blacklisted. Once we had that incident in Comiskey Park where they were burning the records, the media jumped on that and made it into a much bigger event than it really was. And it kind of gave disco this black eye. And I think that hurt the genre. I've never seen that happen, in my knowledge, to any other genre of music. Even rap and hip-hop, when it's been criticized for the type of lyrics it has or things like that, it's still endured and it still thrives. But somehow disco got a bad reputation and some of these singers got caught up in that. And that was really unfortunate because these productions, these musical productions, compositions, and their vocal performances were absolutely amazing, and people still remember these songs today. You know, Kelly, I would say that if it hadn't been for the name disco getting such a tarnished reputation, we'd be talking about 40 years of disco today instead of a 10-year fad. that we kind of view disco as. And I think that is one of the most unfortunate things about this genre, because it deserves respect and it deserves recognition.
What I think is kind of interesting is I'm a huge fan of the dance community, you know, from the 90s up. And I sort of feel like disco then became dance in a way. And now, like, it's interesting how if you look at someone like a Martha Wash, you know, she had success in the disco era and then, you know, continued it with the 90s dance scene and then continued it, you know, as dance sort of evolved. And I think a lot of the dance artists today, you know, need to tip their hats at those ladies that sort of help push things along. Would you agree?
Absolutely. And I think Martha is a tremendous example of that. She did have success in every era of dance music that came along following disco and including disco. And she is certainly exceptional in that regard. Yeah, I think a lot of the music today owes a great deal of their current popularity to disco music. You hear a lot of these riffs and chords and portions of classic disco songs sampled today. And it's funny because a lot of young people don't know that that is part, were based on originally on disco songs. It's kind of interesting. But it's an interesting music form. I think it hasn't received its proper share of attention and respect. But I hope that that's going to change now. As we're all getting older and looking back a little bit more at this music, I think we're coming to appreciate it more and recognize that these women made a tremendous contribution to music and pop culture.
Joining us on The Kelly Alexander Show, author James Arita. Make sure to check out his book, The First Ladies of Disco. James, what do you want readers to actually take away from your book, especially if they are not like a disco freak?
I wonder how many will read this book if they are not a disco freak, but I hope it does reach a broad audience and that I hope people come away with it learning that these women were really exceptional. They didn't have success handed to them. They had to fight for it. They had to work for it. And I think the experiences that some of them have had are quite remarkable. The struggles that they've had are very intense in some cases. And I think they provide inspiration on living a good life, on pushing forward despite obstacles, and being true to your heart and true to your craft. I think they're great women with great stories to tell, and I hope people appreciate them not only as great entertainers, but as great human beings.
Where can people get a copy of the book?
You can get a copy of the book on Amazon or pretty much any online bookseller. It's available in softcover and as an ebook. That includes Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and most other bookselling retail sites.
James, thank you so much for your time. It's been so great to chat with you today.
Thank you, Kelly. I appreciate it, and I hope everybody will enjoy First Ladies of Disco.
That's author James Arita. Again, make sure to check out the book, The First Ladies of Disco. You can check it out on Facebook, The First Ladies of Disco, the book, as well, again, as James on Twitter, at James Arita now.
Talking about bad girls, yeah. See them.
It's a great honor to welcome back to the Kelly Alexander Show an amazing artist who has had chart-topping success all around the world, singing lead vocals for the likes of CNC Music Factory, Black Box, and many more. She's known as the Queen of Clubland and is now featured in a new book called The First Ladies of Disco, and she is definitely one of them, having great success with Two Tons of Fun, which became the Weather Girls, who had us on our feet for It's Raining Men. Martha Wash, thank you for joining us on the Kelly Alexander Show.
My pleasure. My pleasure. Good to hear from you, too.
So, Martha, what was it like to find out that you were going to be featured in a book about the disco era, you know, focusing on the women artists who helped to make it what it is?
I was surprised. I'm trying to remember. It was either Linda Clifford or Jeannie Tracy who told me about Jim Arena. I think it was Linda Clifford. She was saying that he had interviewed her and he was putting this book together about all these different ladies, and said that I should do the interview with him and everything. And she was the one who hooked me up with Jim. And I think he did a great job. It's funny because some of the ladies that I was reading about and, you know, just kind of flipping through the book and everything, it was like, okay, some of these ladies I hadn't heard from in many, many years and just kind of totally forgotten about them. And others, it was like, okay, I remember them during that time and wondered, you know, what they were doing, if they were still around, you know, that kind of thing. So I think it's a very, very good read for people who are interested in disco music and also during that period for the artists. Wondering about the artist, because they'll probably be surprised as to who was very, very popular during that time. The songs that they sang, surprisingly enough, there were some of the ladies I had forgotten the songs that they sang, you know, or either I remembered the songs but had forgotten who recorded them, that kind of thing. So I think it's really a great read.
When you look back on your career and your time in the disco scene, Martha, what comes to mind?
I would say probably fun.
Okay.
I was just trying to have fun and record the songs and go out there and perform them, and you know, people really, really digging the music and the, you know, and me and, you know, Izoa and all of that stuff during that time. It was fun for us.
Can you tell us about your thoughts on, you know, the women artists themselves? Do you think they are greatly responsible for the success of the disco genre? Because, you know, if we look, obviously there's a great stable of ladies who did what they needed to do. And then also there was these great groups as well that obviously comprise women. But, you know, there was a fair male contingent as well. You know, Chic was going on, Shalimar, the list goes on and on, Earth, Wind & Fire. So do you think the women, though, were a large part due to the success?
Oh, I would say absolutely. Absolutely, yes. No question about it. In fact, I think there were more women doing this type of music than the guys were, per se. I'm just going to take a stab at it and say there were the guys were more so in groups. And even though there were lady groups, female groups, there were also a lot of singular women artists that were out there doing the music just as much. So yeah, a lot of women, definitely.
Joining us on the Kelly Alexander Show is artist and entertainer Martha Wash. Make sure to check her out on her website, marthawash.com. Martha, for people who don't quite know the timeline, can you tell us how you and Izora got together and then sort of how you became the Two Tons of Fun and then how that transpired into the Weather Girls?
We started singing background for Sylvester in mid-70s, roughly 1974, and up until about 1980, 81. And then we recorded two albums under the name Two Tons of Fun. And then we moved on into the Weather Girls with Paul Jabara. That, and the only reason why we changed our names from Two Tons of Fun to the Weather Girls was because when It's Raining Men came out,
a lot of people thought there was a new group out called the Weather Girls. Well, the Two Tons of Fun fans said, no, that's Martha and Izora. That's Two Tons of Fun. Other people were saying, no, that's a new group out called the Weather Girls. So during that time, we just decided to change our names from Two Tons of Fun to the Weather Girls and signed with the new record label and moved from the West Coast to the East Coast. So that whole Paul Jabara, It's Raining Men situation took us into a new chapter in our careers.
Did you think at the time, Martha, that It's Raining Men was going to turn out to be the phenomenon that it is? Did you have a clue? Because I know some people say, oh, I didn't know. Or some people are like, I felt like there was something. But did you know it was going to turn into this, like, anthem?
No. No. When we recorded the song, we just kind of left the studio and said, okay, Paul, you know, we'll see you later. Good luck. That whole thing. And he really, really went out and promoted that song, you know, taking the acetate to all these different clubs and asking the club DJs to play the song. Well, it became a hit in the club long before radio even picked up on it. You know, it was a huge hit in the club. So no, I had no idea that it was gonna be such a cult classic, you know. And all these years later, we're going on 31 years now.
And yeah, and everybody still loves it, Martha. Everybody still loves it. It's just awesome. I wanted to ask you as well, you know, at the time, it's funny because when I actually do DJ, you know, some weddings and some celebrations and all that kind of stuff. And it's funny because when I put on a disco tune, I find it brings everybody together, whether, you know, I've got older people in the crowd or the 20-somethings, I feel like, right, you know, which is hard to, especially if you're doing a wedding, it's hard to please everybody, right? Because you got the older crowd, the younger crowd. But disco, I find, right, no matter what, will bring you onto the floor. Do you think that, yep, disco is like this magical genre that was able to do that, even though it seems like sometimes it gets like a bit of a tacky reputation? Like some people, I feel like, think like disco is a dirty word.
Yep, I understand exactly what you're saying. And yes, you are right. It does seem like disco does in fact kind of bridge a gap between the newer music that's out now and the older music that came before disco. And I can't understand it quite myself, but I would say it does kind of bring out the fun in people. You know, and people just wanting to have the dance, have a good time, and grandparents dancing with grandkids.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say that you would necessarily be able to do that with other types of music.
Right. And do you find...
Yeah, you can't do it.
Do you find, Martha, as well, that maybe disco got a weird sort of connotation to it because I think a lot of gay clubs obviously were playing disco? And do you think like some, you know, manly men really don't want to be associated with it, and that's why it was a bit of a, like that the era didn't last that long?
I honestly don't know, because there are straight men that still like disco music,
mm-hmm,
you know, and dance to it whenever they hear it. So I honestly can't say that. Because even in disco clubs, you had straight clubs and you had gay clubs,
mm-hmm,
but they were still playing the same kind of music,
right?
And still dancing. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really not sure. I don't understand why people used to say disco sucked. Why would you do that, or why would you say that when in fact some artists now are going back and using music from the disco era as samples for their new songs. Why would you do that?
Mm-hmm.
If you didn't care for disco music that much, then why would you try and sample the music that came from that era? You know,
mm-hmm.
I don't understand it either.
Okay. And I wanted to ask you this. I was speaking to James Arena, the author of the book, and we had a little chit chat about you. And I said, you know, Martha really stands out for me because, you know, you were so prominent, you know, during the disco era, and then you were able to continue, you know, like you've had success in the 90s with CNC and Black Box and so on, and then your own success with your own club hits. Do you think that disco was the precursor to where dance headed in the 90s and so on? Because it just seems like a bit of a natural progression.
I think so, yes. Yes. For me personally, I've always said, if you can dance to music, period, whatever genre it came from, mm-hmm. or whatever time period it came from, I always called it, if you could dance to it, I called it dance music. But for disco music in particular, it has morphed off into all these other subgenres of dance music. You went into high energy, then you went into techno, and now in this period, you've got electronic music, you know, mm-hmm. and my thinking is, well, it was electronic 30 years ago, you know, but now they have electronic music. And I'm saying to myself, okay, fine. It just, you know, it kind of boggles the mind mm-hmm. where you get the labels and the subgenres of the music and all this other kind of stuff. I can't keep up with it personally. And sometimes I just have to laugh at it when I see these labels, you know. I said, okay, fine. It's just it's dance music to me, okay? Mm-hmm. Get up there, move your butt, and have fun, shoot.
Joining us on the Kelly Alexander Show is artist and entertainer Martha Wash. Make sure to check her out on her website, marthawash.com. Martha, this might seem like a bit of an odd question, but, you know, I'm a huge fan of yours. That's no surprise. And I feel like your voice, and there's some other ones too, like I would have said like Lolita Holloway mm-hmm. and like a CeCe Peniston maybe. Like your voice worked in disco and it worked for CNC and it keeps working with your club stuff and even your newer stuff that you're doing something good. How does it feel to know that your voice can fit all this sort of different types of music, like this, it just fits like, and you've, I, to me, I'm sure it hasn't been seamless on your end because obviously show business is a business, but to me, you've just had this natural progression from disco straight on up. What does it feel like to know that you could sing a disco tune? Like even if someone came to you now and said, you know, we're going to bring back disco and ask you to do it, you could do it. And then you could go back and do something like a CNC song as well.
Mm-hmm. It's really good. It's really a nice feeling to know. I've always been the person that says I'm more than just a dance music artist. I like all kinds of music. And to be able at this particular time to do a different style of music, as with the new CD, Something Good, I want my fans who have followed me all these many years to have something different to listen to me by, not just the dance music per se. They know I can do the dance music, and other people know I can do the dance music, but it's for the new audiences that may not know my name, but they know the songs that I sang. I want them to get to know me in another type of music, to hear me in another type of music.
Okay. Now, I wanted to bring you back to the disco era for a minute. At the time, when everything was sort of going on, you know, like really in the thick of things, what other female artists, Martha, did you really admire at the time?
Ooh, I like strong singers, I guess. Mm-hmm. I love Lolita.
Okay.
And all of the music that she did with Dan Hartman and stuff. The music that she recorded, she was always a very strong singer. So I always liked her music, loved it. There were a few more out there. Honestly, I can't think of their names right now. Mm-hmm. But I like strong singers who have some power behind them. You know, that's kind of where I am.
And how does it feel, you know, all these years later, Martha, to know that so many of the ladies who had these hits in that disco era are still performing? Like, you know, recently, a couple of months ago, I was actually at a special event and they brought in the Pointer Sisters, you know, and they're still doing their thing. And I had a chance to speak with them and, you know, they do, you know, X amount of dates a year and they're all over the place. And obviously the list goes on and on. You're still doing stuff. What does it feel like to know that you guys are still doing this, especially when, again, I think disco can have that dirty word mentality?
Yeah, you're right. You're right. And I'm glad that women are still out there doing their shows and things like that. In fact, there are quite a few disco shows around the country that you can go to. And funny enough, for the time that people said disco sucks, when you have these big disco shows, the places are packed, absolutely packed, just sold out. So I'm saying to myself, well, if disco sucks so much, mm-hmm. why are all these people coming out to these shows and supporting a lot of these disco artists that are still out there working? I think it's fabulous. I love it. I really, really love it. And I'm glad to know that these people still have work that they can do and do these shows and things like that and still make a living after all these years.
I have to ask you this. I'm sure you've been asked it before, but I just got to do it, especially because we're talking about disco. Do you ever get tired of performing It's Raining Men?
No, okay, no. Good. I've been doing it for so long. It's kind of a prerequisite, you know. Mm-hmm. You have to do the song.
What does it feel like, Martha? Because I actually had a chat with Crystal Waters, and I asked her, for example, I know you know her big hit, Gypsy Woman, from back in 1991. And I asked her, mm-hmm. you know, what it's like, because, like, first of all, they remake that song almost every year. Some remixer always gets their hands on it and redoes it. And I uh-huh. asked her, you know, like, obviously people want to hear you do that song. And she's like, I have no problem with that song. That song has paid my mortgage. So when you are asked to do like all the CNC stuff, like, is it still just a thrill? Especially because I guess it must be fun just to look in the audience and see people just going nuts for a song that's like over 20 years old.
Exactly. Exactly. I think it kind of brings them back as well to that time when the song came out, you know. Look, I have no problem doing it. I have no problem doing it.
Fantastic.
Not at all.
Well, I'm happy to hear that because I love to hear you sing it. And just last question before I let you go, Martha. What is up next for you? Because you have so many ardent fans that love to know what's going on with Martha Wash.
Well, still promoting the new CD, Something Good, and they can find it at Amazon and iTunes and CD Baby. We did remix one of the songs, It's My Time. You can find that on iTunes. And just keep a lookout for me in your area sometime soon.
Perfect. Okay. Yeah. Oh, and a quick question. Do you think you'll be coming to Toronto for World Pride Day? I'm assuming they're going to want you there.
We're working on that.
Okay, good.
We're working on that. Yeah.
Excellent. That's going to be a big party. 2 million people coming into Toronto, Canada. So obviously Martha Wash needs to be there. Martha, thank you so much. As always, it's so much fun to speak with you.
My pleasure, and so good to hear from you. Thank you so much.
That is artist and entertainer Martha Wash. Again, make sure to check her out on her website, marthawash.com.
Hits!
So excited yet again to have our awesome Australian man join us on the Kelly Alexander Show. Cody, how are you?
Good, thanks. How you going?
Very good. So happy to have you back on the show.
It's lovely to be back in Montreal. We're
happy to have you here. And it's been a while, I guess several months. Lots has been going on with you. The last time we talked, you were doing the tour.
Yeah.
And lots of dancing, lots of singing going on. Yeah. Now you got to tell us, you are 17 years old now all of a sudden.
Yeah.
We've seen you grow up.
Yeah.
And, you know, what's incredible to me is, like, you have all these millions of fans that are, you know, I see your Twitter account. It keeps growing and growing. Everyone's following you. Yeah. How have you managed to stay so humble and grounded? Because you have a lot of people that love you.
I just, like, I've never naturally, you know, never viewed it in, you know, a perspective other than the way I've always viewed it. You know, it's never changed. And, you know, I always see, you know, obviously there are things and that I've accomplished over the last couple of years, but there's still so much left for me to do. And, like, and I feel like I'll never be completely satisfied, you know what I mean? Because there'll always be something else I got to do. And you know, this year is, you know, it's going to be a big year for me as far as musically maturing, artistically maturing. And this tour is definitely the first step into sort of helping my fans understand that, you know what I mean, where I'm coming from. And I feel like with this show, the Acoustic Session show, it's like they, you know, really get to strip it down and make it raw and fresh and very musical. I still get up and groove every once in a while, but I'm, you know, really focused on my, you know, guitar playing, everything. And I think the fans leave with a different perspective on me, you know, as an artist, and but still that same fan excitement. So it's great. Yeah.
Talk to us about the Acoustic Sessions. Where did that come from? Like, has it been sort of burning inside you for a while?
For sure. Eh? Like, I, to be honest, it's been burning inside me since I was like 6 years old. That's where I first started, was just myself and my guitar. And, you know, it took me a couple years in the business to kind of figure out the direction I wanted to head musically, because I was so young and, you know, given all these opportunities with people to work with. And, you know, I finally have found my feet now that I'm old enough and mature enough to really understand it all. So I'm really just taking it by the horns myself and, you know, steering it in the right direction. And this year, having turned 17 on, you know, the day that the tour started, it's like a really cool thing. So looking forward to it all.
Talk to us about how you are evolving musically as like an artist and even as a person, because like 17, like you're starting to go, you know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. Hey, like, it's just much more mature. It's more musical. It's, you know, as soon as I finish this tour, I'm going back to LA to work on the new album, just to be able to get it out there. But it's something that everyone's going to like, you know, and it's obviously directed at my fans, but it's something that, you know, is more mature, more musical and more organic. And I don't know, it's hard to explain, but it's still got that groove in it, but it's definitely just guitar orientated, real stuff. So, yeah.
What is the next album going to be like? Do you think, like, will it like have a bit more R&B flavor? Like,
no,
like, do you see where you're going?
No R&B flavor whatsoever. Definitely much more of a singer-songwriter direction.
Okay. Like Jack Johnson, right? I know you're a fan of his, right?
Like that, but it's still going to have a bit of groove in it. Still a bit of that, you know, almost like that Pharrell type thing. It's going to be like a, you know, a combination of the both. We're still keeping the groove for everyone because everyone loves to, you know, everyone loves to move, but, you know, be able to have that organic, you know, guitar sound. And I'm really looking to execute that properly on the next album. Take some time with it. Yeah.
Now, the Grammys are, you know, front and center, and is that something that you aspire to, Cody, to actually getting nominated for a Grammy one day?
Yeah, one day for sure. I mean, I'm still 17 years old and I got years ahead of me, but that is the end goal. Yeah, or one of the end goals. Yeah.
Do you want to perform at one of those type shows? It always seems like the artists really get a kick out of performing in front of their peers.
Yeah, for sure. It's much more nerve-wracking. I've done some kind of award show performances before, and I get so nervous for it because it's on TV and all that, but, you know, I feel like that and those kind of award show performances are such unreal opportunities to be able to prove yourself almost. You know, it's like one of those kind of opportunities, especially the Grammys. You perform at the Grammys, you have every single person that matters in the industry there in front of you, and you got to do your best to like own it. So I'd love that opportunity in the next couple of years. It'd be awesome, but you got to work up to it. So
now, last time we talked, you mentioned that you were sort of a fan of Jack Johnson, and obviously you continue to be, but as your own music is evolving, is your taste evolving as well? Is there other people that are sort of on your radar that you're really enjoying listening to?
I mean, it's always been pretty similar. Just love a bit of Jack, a bit of John Mayer. But also, you know, I love like Timberlake and Pharrell and all those guys. So I mean, definitely like two sides to my interests, yeah.
Now, tell us about Awesomeness TV. What's going on with that? I watched the first episode. I think it's fantastic.
Thanks.
Let the fans know what's going on with it.
Yeah, it's a basically a series that's going on all year. It's called 17. It's a series, a new episode coming out every Tuesday on Awesomeness. It's basically just behind the scenes, behind the curtain, you know, peek into my life, basically, on and off stage.
Do you notice the camera when it's there, or it's just sort of around? Like, do you notice that it's following
you?
That's
just one of my friends with the, you know, it's out there. One of my... He's an awesome videographer, photographer, and, you know, we surf together and stuff. So he's, like, a cool bloke, and he comes out and, you know, it's just, like, we have to shoot different, like, interview sections, but a lot of it's just real-life documentary. So okay. It's good fun.
Now, as I was walking into the venue today, the ladies are down the block and around the corner.
Awesome.
So, and every time I see your fans, it just, the line keeps getting longer in general. Like every time you come to our town, and I'm obviously it's the same thing at each city you go to.
Yeah.
What does it feel like to know that like these ladies have been waiting outside since 2 a.m.?
It's crazy. Like, we arrived, I don't know, like I woke up at 11 this morning, late morning, and they were like, yeah, they've been, you know, these girls have been here for like 9 hours already. It's like,
wow. What does that mean to you though, Cody? Like, what does it feel like? Does it like, is it like a, just you can't even process kind of like,
no, it's like, I don't know what to think, to be honest. Like I hear that stuff and then I do my best to like, you know, show them, you know, give them the show that, you know, they waited to see and so hopefully be able to meet a lot of fans. You know, it's tough, obviously impossible to meet everyone, but I don't know. I mean, it's like hard for me to process because it still doesn't seem like real, you know what I mean? Like on stage and in front of the fans, like I just feel like there's a connection, but I definitely try to keep a difference between myself up here and myself, you know.
Like what's real
at home,
kind of thing?
You know what I mean? So it's tough, eh? Like you just,
it's a lot,
you gotta
for a
17-year-old,
right?
You got to embrace it. And, you know, it took me a while to, like, understand, but, like, I'm just going full bore now and making the music, and the people are loving it, so I'm just showing them as much love as I can. Yeah.
That's awesome. And last question before I let you go. What do you want to sort of see for yourself when 2014 comes to a close? Like, what will you have wanted to accomplish?
Hopefully to be able to give the world, like, a new perspective on myself and on my music and... you know, be able to build up a certain, like, established musical respect and stuff where it's kind of like, hey, like, I'm going to be doing this for a while. So, yeah.
Awesome. Cody, thank you for hanging out on the Kelly Alexander Show.
It's a pleasure to talk to you.
Awesome.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4. Go to sleep, wake up, you're pretty with no makeup. Go to sleep, wake up, this pretty girl. She came round the corner, looking like a model. Magazine figure, she was shaped like a bottle. Long straight hair, she was fly as a bird. First time ever, I was lost for words. Felt so right, it just couldn't be wrong. Love at first sight, if that exists at all. I couldn't move, felt like I was stuck. Then baby girl looked up and I said, hey there, pretty brown eyes. What you doing later tonight? Would you mind if I spend time with you? And I said, hey there, pretty brown eyes. What you doing later tonight? Would you mind if I spend time with you? Yeah. Oh, go to sleep, wake up. You're pretty with no makeup. Go to sleep, wake up. Pretty girl, this girl, she was a little hottie. She knows she got it. Came from the city, so she loved to party. JT saw me, could rock that body. Dancing all night long, cause I can tell that she was a wild one. That's why I was shy at first, but I finally worked out the nerve. And I said, hey there, pretty brown eyes. What you doing later tonight? Would you mind if I spend time with you? And I said, hey there, pretty brown eyes. What you doing later tonight? Would you mind if I spend time with you? Yeah. Spend a little bit of time with you. 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 Oh, hey, hey, little pretty brown eyes, don't you ever be looking at them other guys, cause you ain't ever had no surfer like me. So just start swimming over here right my way. I see that you party like there's no tomorrow. Let's leave the party, I'll grab my guitar. I got the keys, so jump in my car. Sit back, relax, Australia's kind of fun. Oh, pretty brown eye, what you doing later tonight? Would you mind if I spend time with you?
falling for. Baby, do you dare to do this? 'Cause I'm coming at you like a dark horse. Are you ready for, ready for?
Special thank you going out to my guests this week, author James Arena, recording artists Martha Wash and Cody Simpson. Here is your inspirational quote of the week, this time coming from Charlotte Erickson. Do you wait for things to happen or do you make them happen yourself? You are in control of your now. You must believe in writing your own story. As always, thank you so much for hanging out with us on the show. If you have any comments or questions, kelly@kellyalexandershow.com, and make sure to follow us on all of our social media. And you can do that on our website, kellyalexandershow.com. Have a great week. You and I will chat soon.